1966, 84% of African American children were being raised in two-parent households. Fast forward to 2006, that number is at 31%.
Mm. Yeah.
So we are bearing witness to black men and black women, even when we're having kids, not being together, not staying together.
Break!
Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, KC Layman. We have a lovely roundtable jumping off tonight. Tonight's guests are Black Is team members, Chris Layman and Toria Williams, and extra special guest, Darius Gray. And tonight's topic is, act like a woman, think like a man. Do these rules apply to new millennium dating? And of course, this question comes from Steve Harvey's book, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, and the upcoming film that's supposed to be dropping. I thought it was dropping this month.
20th.
The 20th? Okay. With a star-studded black cast, so we'll see how it does in the box office. Right. But in the book, Steve talks a lot about rules that women need to follow. And we actually have a copy of the book here. Thank you, Tori. he mentions these rules that women need to follow in order to snag themselves a husband, a man. And he talks about what drives men. Well, first he talks about the mindset of a man, what drives men, how a man's love is different than a woman's love, the three things that every man needs, and things that make men run for cover. What do you all think, first and foremost, about this book and the target audience? Who is Steve Harvey talking to in this book?
This is Chris Began. I think he's talking to basically the single black women, whether they're been single with no kids, single with kids, divorced with kids, all the women who find it hard to basically keep black men and figure out black men. And I guess the ones who are always calling him, asking him for advice, that seems to be who he's writing it for. Now, I read the book when it came out, and, you know, it had some good points. I got the fact that he's basically trying to tell women, this is how men think, so in order for you to keep one of these men, to keep the men you want, you have to understand how they think. And I get that for the most part, but, you know, some of the things I don't agree with, I mean, do I really want a woman who thinks like a man? Partially no, because I want you to be yourself. I want you to be a woman. That's why I don't want you to think like me. I'm not trying to get with myself a guy.
Yeah. And I think he's also targeting women at a certain stage in their life. Because I ran out and I bought the book and when it first came out, and I was at a point where I'm single, I have everything together, quote unquote, how do I get a man? How do I get a man? And so when you're in that stage in life, when your only focus is on how do I get a man, or you feel like your life is missing something because you don't have a man, those are the women he's targeting. Because I think once you get to a point in your life and you're comfortable and you're saying, okay, I'm single right now, and when my man comes, he comes. If he doesn't, but I'm in a good place. Some of the stuff he's saying is like, that's common sense. You know what I mean? Like I didn't get it till you read the table of contents. One of the points he was making about a man can't be in a relationship until, basically he was saying, until a man feels confident with his own life. Like, I've got everything established, my job, stability, and all these things. So it's hard for a man to focus on a relationship when he's not solid with himself in his own life. Well, that makes sense, you know? So it makes sense now, you know what I mean? But you don't apply that rule when you're out there and you're dating and you're trying to find someone. You don't think it's the one answer for us. It's either hit or miss. You didn't want me, what's wrong? You know, like,
right.
Why am I asking? Something's wrong with me or something's wrong with you. But when you get to a stage in your life and you're like, whoa, 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 we're dealing with human beings, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think women, we're less focused in the beginning. We're trained to, like, hurry up and get married. So we don't spend that time with, let me get myself right so that if I do come across a man, I'm worthy of a man. I know I'm good. Mm-hmm. And I think men take that approach first because, you know, they know I'm going to have to be responsible for this woman anyway. So let me get this solid. So I think he's targeting women I don't want to say at a vulnerable point in their life, but at a certain stage in their life.
I would say, too, to piggyback off of that, that then the man who he's talking about in this book is also at a certain stage in his life. Because if you're looking at couples that get together younger, the man may not be established. And so you have a couple that's kind of working together because they're both young and both broke and trying to make it happen. Because I feel like that's how we are. Mm-hmm. But after, it seems like for single people after a certain age, the focus of developing a relationship changes. The thought process of getting into the relationship is different. Mm-hmm. There is a definite concern about self-sustainability before I try to merge what I have going on with somebody else. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure my stuff is together.
And I also think he's writing to women who aren't holding themselves accountable.
Hmm.
It's just an automatic assumption. I'm a woman, so I deserve a husband. Because when I read that book, that's kind of, I'm thinking back, because it's been some time since I read that book. But thinking back, I remember, like, this is all about accountability. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, there are some points where he says, yeah, you know, there are some men that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. But it totally makes us, it frees us from using the excuse all men are dogs or they all want to cheat. It definitely makes you hold yourself accountable. But I don't want to give nothing against Steve Harvey. I don't want to give him credit for being the first to say women hold yourself accountable.
Right.
That's just real.
And that's common sense too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that is such common sense.
Common sense ain't common to everybody.
Well, I watched a documentary today. This is Darius, by the way. Do Women Know What They Want? And this is Michael Basedian's documentary. Has anyone seen that?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I have some different thoughts about him. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, but anyway, the questions that he was asking, I haven't read Steve Harvey's book, but were along the lines of whether or not women should have sex on the first date, whether or not women fake orgasms. A lot of sexual questions. But I felt that the whole documentary was a jump in the sense that, you know, sex is an integral part of a relationship. Trust me, I know, you know. But, I mean, I think American culture is so jaded that, you know, why would you even be talking about sex openly to other people? And one of the other questions he asked was, how many partners for a woman is too many by the age of 25? And the men said, they said 10. Men said 10, and if a woman tells you 10, then chances are she's had 20. And then he turned around and asked the women. He turned around and told the woman what the men said, and the woman said 10. Well, you know, by the time I'm 25 or 30, then I've had 15 or 20 men. You know, and that's just kind of disgusting.
I mean, that is
not so much
that's
that you've
lot,
done
though.
It, but that you've openly admitted it, you know.
That is a lot.
That is a
whole
lot. That's a lot.
And
15 or 20 by 25 or 30?
That's a man a year.
You know, yeah. Well, it's a man a year, but
and
you have
still
to,
ain't
you, you still haven't taken into account that they really shouldn't have been having sex and for so, most of that period.
Right.
So, time. So, it's really more than a man
two,
a year.
2 to 3.
Right.
A year that you're running through.
When you think of when kids are having sex now.
Right. So back to the Steve Harvey thing.
Right.
My thing with Steve Harvey is I followed his career because I had worked for BET at one time and I liked him as an individual. But at his first attempt at radio commentary was terrible. It was horrible. And he totally turned me off just with the, you know, unbridled ignorance. He's just stupid stuff, you know, and it was kind of cooning to me. But the second time around with the syndicated show and whatnot, he's obviously taken some tips from somebody and cleaned up his act. I don't know that reading a book and taking advice from him is a move for me, because I feel like I was saying earlier, you know, a man who's 50 plus and just at a point where, you know, he's got grown children where he feels like he can give advice. It's kind of late in life. And if I'm reading a book, if I'm going to spend money on a book, I want to feel like you're telling me something that I don't already know.
Right.
No, it is.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it is funny because half the title, I mean, I would like a book to just teach women how to be ladies. I mean, there are not a lot of ladies.
Woo-wee. That was the coldest thing somebody said tonight.
Because, I mean, we talk a lot about how, you know, we're not raising proper men, that there are a lot of grown-ass 30-year-old boys walking around here. But, I mean, there's a lot of 30-year-old girls and not ladies. Like, mm-hmm. you know, are there women? Are women, I mean, I know that having a man in the household would actually help teaching her how to be a lady and how to act around men and how to carry themselves. But if we use this excuse that there's not really any many men in the household and there's a lot of women, how are we women creating so many girls? Like, where are the ladies creating ladies? Or is it just...
It's
girls raising girls, basically.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Because if you think about it, I saw how women treated men. Although my mother didn't get married till later, I still saw how men were treated in our household. I saw those roles, you know. You know, men didn't make their plates, but men took out the trash. The boys, you know, knew that they had to carry the groceries in. They knew that they had to take out the trash. They knew, you know, women shouldn't be struggling carrying, and the women knew. So fast forward to this generation where a lot of women are having children without that man around, and that sometimes leaves like a bitterness or not. And if it's not a bitterness, it's I've been playing or duo rolling, so I don't necessarily have the time, or I haven't consciously thought, let me sit back and act like a lady, because I've taken on the role of lady and provider in this household. And so I've either unconsciously passed this on to my daughter, you know, and so she's imitating that. But you're right, a lot of women, I didn't have any sit down conversations with, this is what you're supposed to do. I saw some things and it made sense. And, you know, it would come out in places, but now you say some of those things today and it's, you know, it's like, girl, please, I'm 20 in the 2012 or 2013. I'm independent. I do this, I do that. And I strongly believe marriage will only work, you know, if men and women take their roles. I know it's 2012 and I'm independent too, but I honestly believe, as independent as I may be, I would have to step into a lady role and allow my husband to be in a man role for that marriage to work. It just, but innately, it doesn't work any other way.
How independent are you?
Meaning, I'm saying independent in the sense it's me, I provide for myself, I go to work, things like that. But not in the sense of I don't need.
Have you done everything to put yourself in a position that you're in?
Absolutely not. I've had
so you're not independent then?
No. Is that the definition?
Yeah. I mean, that's my definition. Because people who tout themselves as independent, to me, are self-made, and no one's really self-made. I mean, people who have money and inherit money, they didn't make that money. And people who made the money, they took advantage of an opportunity. And so they're still not self-made. I mean, I think like every experience can be a stepping stone. And then people, God didn't create us on this earth for us to be independent. You know, and there's a certain.
But I think at the end of the day, if you ask myself or a working mother, like, yes, I had parents, I had friends, I had people to support me. But at the end of the day, when the bills are coming through, when somebody's got to be at the house for maintenance to be taken care of, or you don't think back to, oh, I'm so thankful that my mom put me through school, like in the moment. And I think this applies more to.
But the fact is that she puts you, somebody helped you to get into that position to where you could do it for yourself. And most of the women I know who claim to be independent aren't independent because they receive some sort of subsidy from somewhere, be it child support. You know, child support is a.
But there are a lot that don't receive child support at the end of the day.
Yeah, but those that don't receive child support are receiving some sort of government subsidy. I don't know women.
True.
Oh, but that is true.
Not all of them, though. I have friends that are busting their butts every day. That's for them. And I think of them.
In
they
America.
Get up in the morning. They go to work. But before they go to work, they got to get people in school to school on time. They got to pick people up. They've got to raise children. It's not just taking them and feeding them. They got to raise them. So every day when they're encountering crap out there in the world, not only am I the one that's paying for childcare, getting you to childcare, cooking, I've got to find some time in my life to also raise you. And at the end of the day, I'm doing that. It feels like I'm doing this all by myself.
In actuality,
some of them are.
I don't believe.
Well, the term doesn't work because, look, I don't have a daughter, but I would think that those who have daughters and raise daughters, it's not the independent thing, but like my son is not going to be independent. It's like I'm going to teach my daughter how to fend for herself because we all walk this road alone. Like I can't assume at this point in your life, you'll have a man, so I don't need to teach you how to fucking fend for yourself. Like my son, I'm teaching my son and my daughter how to live as individuals, how to, you know, to wash your own clothes, how to cook.
Right.
You know,
right,
things
right.
like that. Like, I don't get how, because there are independent women who brag like, oh, I'm in, like, yeah. you, that's not, like, you ain't independent. Like, an independent woman, whatever that is, that term, they're not going to flaunt their thing. They're not. Right. Like if you're 25 to 30 and up and you're basically by yourself and you're, you know, working, you paying for the roof over your head, you're going to work for yourself, your job, you bought the car, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't count to me like, well, I'm independent. I'm like, well, you doing what you supposed to do. I'm not looking at it like a negative. Why would I expect you at 30 to be like, well, how come a man ain't taking care of you?
But I think for the sake of this conversation and just for our society, what we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years is this societal shift of single women over 30 holding down households, be it with children or without children, which is typically not the way things were set up in this country. On average, people were getting married and creating families.
Without children, then that's not a household then.
But I wouldn't say that.
Why not?
So what is it?
Why would we define a household by the presence of children? You can have a couple that chooses to never
I define the whole concept of a household as a presence of someone else. Now, you're talking about an independent woman, then she doesn't have a man, and she doesn't have children. So you fending for yourself does not constitute a household.
Then we just have two different definitions of household. Because that's, my
mother, absolutely.
What do you call
it? What is it called?
What would be the women's version
we're
of that?
We just living? Just existing?
No. I just, when I think of household, I think of the presence of other individuals, other beings. You know, because, so, I mean, there's got to be some sort of reliance, some codependence. You know, when you talk about a household, there are rules. And if you're making your own rules, then you don't, I mean, you're just abiding by your own rules.
There are some rules that we have no say-so over, though.
Like?
Bills have to be paid. I have to keep the house up, the maintenance up. That's not necessarily me making rules. Like, for me to make it, I have to be the head of that household in order for it to function.
Yeah. I get what you're saying about, because if somebody tells me and uses the word household, I'm assuming it's not just them. I understand like that.
Yeah. But then that means in regards to definition, what we have here is a gender divide. Because I guess for me, if I think about the way I was raised with a single mom, before I was there, she was maintaining a house. You know what I mean? And when she basically created a space that was safe for me, that she had to create by herself in the absence of my father not being there for them to do it together. Mm-hmm. And there were certain things that she had to solidify in her own life that would provide security for me once she had me. And these were things that she thought about prior to me even being conceived. It wasn't something that she started scrambling to put together once she discovered she was with child. But just, I'm thinking to herself, I'm at this stage. At some point, I want to be married and have a child. Let me put these things in motion so when that day comes, I'm able to care for this child. And that wasn't with the expectation of her marriage not lasting. But, you know, she wanted to make sure that she held up her end of the bargain, you know, once she did find a partner.
What's going on, y'all? This is Chris, and you're listening to another Black is Bright.
shift gears really quick. Chris and I listened to a podcast earlier this week from a brother named Jay, who has a podcast called Up for Discussion that we listen to quite frequently. Jay has some really good conversations. And he had a conversation with a young woman, and the topic was, has the independent woman killed relationships? And I called into his hotline, and I made the point. I said, I don't feel like independent women have killed relationships. I do think this shift of having women that are running households, and now we're talking
With children.
That shift happening has made a lot of women have a hardened exterior and interior. And this whole idea of being a lady, you have a lot of ladies that are missing that softness that men are attracted to. They don't have that same grace. They don't have that same femininity because they've had to hold down these different roles. And so when they are confronted with somebody, a man specifically, who is asking them or challenging them in that way, because they've had to wear both hats, they don't even have the ability to respond with that same grace because they've just become so wound up in these roles. Mm-hmm. And that's missing. And because of that, they end up cutting themselves at the kneecaps in regards to the relationships they try to develop with men. Men don't like that.
Yeah. Right. And see, that's on the reverse of that. These women that are holding down those households, I don't think people, or maybe they do, but I look at some of my friends and it's hard. You know, if all you have to do is just go to work and pay your bills, that's hard for me as an independent woman without kids. But now you bring the kids into the picture and you really are raising these children on your own, or a dad that's in and out along with everything else. Again, it's not just enough to take them to school. It's like doctor's appointments. I get fired in between of doing all of this. And little John is over here acting up in school and he's cutting up and he's smoking weed and he's screwing and he might have a baby on the way. And now I might be put out the house. And oh my God, now my sister needs to come and live with me. All these things that's fallen on this one woman. It's hard to bow out and be ladylike. You're not even trying to be a lady. You're just trying to survive. I think you're not even looking at what gender or sexuality am I at that point in time, because you're putting into a situation where I have to survive, you know? Right. I look at all of my friends that have done it, and there is this, I don't want to say that they're hard, because at the end of the day, none of them are waving the flag like, I do this by myself. At the end of the day, yeah, I'm doing it by myself, but they say that in defense to somebody that's coming at them like, well, you should act more like a lady. And she's like, how the hell am I supposed to act more like a lady?
Right.
Did you know last night when he didn't come home at 2 a.m. and was out there smoking in the streets, I had to jump up in the car? I can't be a lady, you know, if I'm doing that and then come back home. So I think it has to be understanding on both ends, because at the end of the day, yes, you chose to have those children. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, men have to understand where these women are coming from. Like, this is a rose growing in concrete.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's going to be this, you can't expect her to be just submissive. Because at the end of the day, if you are coming into my life, you accept all of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to know that you're going to do right by this household. Because if you're coming into this household, you got to lead. And I don't think there's enough communication. Women are supposed to automatically, that are in those situations, bite their lip and understand, like, okay, I'm supposed to be a lady. I'm like, no, you can't bow down when every day that's your grind and you don't necessarily want that to be your grind. The majority of them would like to have somebody in there, but maybe they don't trust enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Best
and
part.
If I'm lifting weights every day, it's inevitable for me to get muscles.
Right.
Right. And I don't think, well, I guess my definition with a lady is, I don't expect a lady to kind of just be subservient.
Right.
At all. I mean, I know there's a lot of guys out there, and I hear it from these podcasts and what women have to say, just like the men coming in basically like, okay, now that we hooking up, check your role and get behind me and let me just run shit. And to me, that didn't work in terms of a relationship. To me, that doesn't work.
Right.
You know, I'm especially nowadays, maybe back in the 50s, 60s before that, but now that women, the ceiling, I guess, has moved up, and now they can actually be CEOs and own their own businesses and you know, and basically earn more money than a guy at this point. I mean, you have to kind of look at it both ways. You know, I don't, the independent woman who flaunts, I mean, that's a damn, that's a turn off.
That's the kill, that's what kills relationships. Right. The independent woman that says, I don't need a man, because at night, I can't sleep with the title CEO. You know what I'm saying? The title CEO ain't going to keep me warm. The title CEO ain't going to protect somebody from coming into this house. Yeah. The CEO can't take me to dinner and just let me be a lady. So the woman that does that, absolutely. But I'm not talking about the week. Everybody, I think, could agree, like, yeah, okay.
Cause that, but that is the other extreme. I almost think that's probably more prevalent than the other option, the single mother who has to have the hardened experience. Mm-hmm. The you have more now young women graduating college, young black women than young black men going on for graduate degrees, getting high paid power positions, and that woman doesn't want a man coming to her telling her get in your place. What
keep
place?
Living.
Right.
Well, let's back up here. Let's first be clear about whom we're speaking. I think the topic here should not just be act like a lady, think like a man. I think it should be act like a black lady, think like a black man, because we're talking cultural issues here. When we're talking about single mothers and men who abandon their families, this is pretty much something that's limited to limited to the black culture. You don't hear about this in any other culture.
Although it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, yeah. but
it's stressed more with
right. So let's be clear about this. But I think one thing that we need to remember, that women need to remember, regardless of who the man is, men want to be needed and they need to feel needed.
Right.
And once that term independent is asserted, even the word just makes my skin boil. My father, I remember my sister was about 16 years old, and I know she was just reciting some nonsense she had heard, but she made a comment about needing a man. And my father interjected very quickly and told her, hold on now. You know, the women who I hear saying that they're independent and don't need a man, half of them or more than half of them don't have a man to begin with. You know, and if you don't know me, my parents have been married for 40 years. And about 30 of those years, my father's been taking care of my mother as an invalid. And so that companionship and that physical aspect has really not been there. You know, I'm not going to say any more about that. But the point is, he could say, I don't need a woman. But any man, any heterosexual man, feels much more comfortable when he has a woman by his side. Mm-hmm. And just because a man uses the term submissive doesn't mean that he expects his woman to be subservient.
Yeah, it depends on the man that you're dealing with.
You know, I'm not going to be, I don't want a woman who's going to bow down. I feel women have opinions and their opinions are to be valued.
Right.
And I'm willing to listen to a woman just as willing to listen to a woman as I am to listen to a man's opinion. And if you're my wife and, you know, what you have to say affects both of us, I'm even more willing.
Yeah, men need to feel needed and necessary. And I think a lot of women, especially if they fall under the umbrella of independent, and it's not all of them, but they have a challenge in saying to a man, I need you. They don't want to say that, because something about saying that for them... It's monetary. That's part of it. It becomes a business transaction, but it also showcases for some of them a level of weakness. And I've told single friends of mine, if you say that you don't need a man, then you won't have one. That's just how it's going to go.
Won't have me.
But I think also men have to open themselves up to be available for more than just the need of monetary and being, you know, the provider. Because if you meet a woman and she has established herself and she has a home and she has a lucrative or just a decent income coming, she may not need you financially, but she needs you in other areas.
Right.
And I don't know that men are naturally built for that need that I might have. Like
they won't. They're not.
Yes, because I can honestly say right now, well, not now because, you know, IRS is on me. But for the most part, I can say financially I've been blessed where I don't need a man financially to make sure that the bills are on. But I need a man for so many other things, you know, and not – and to, but the assumption is if you don't need me financially, you know, then then you don't need a man. You know, and that's not the case. I need a man to guide me in managing my finances. Can you do that? You know,
are you willing to allow that?
Absolutely. That's what, that's the question.
But is the average woman willing to allow?
Well, it's hard because
but see,
if I make
because
the money, there's nowhere in the world I'm going to let you tell me.
No,
what
I'm
to
not.
Do
no, I'm saying how to exactly. I'm saying I might need you to teach me how to manage what I have.
I understand but, what yeah. you're saying, but I'm we're talking about the bigger picture here.
I think I'm speaking towards the average woman.
I don't. I know for a fact. I think
the average woman, like, when it comes to that, our definition for need is limited to can I, you know, sustain you financially. But I might need more for you to – I might need you to provide other than finances.
Okay.
I might need you to provide more than – building a home. Show me how to guide my home and lead my home. If I'm a mother and you're coming in, I might not need you to pay our bills, but I might need you to show me how to guide this child and take this child down. I might need you emotionally.
Yeah, but you know what? And I don't know if this was a slip or not, but you know what you just said?
What?
You said my home. My home. No man is going to teach you how to do anything for you. That's the point. Now, when you're talking about a man, we're talking about
our
two,
woman.
Right. And see, and that's the problem with coming into a situation with a woman who might have more than you. And I'm not going to say that I speak from experience, but I could see where this would be a problem. I have dated women who actually have things or as much as I've had, and they cling tight to what they have.
Well,
and
in the beginning, I think it's natural.
Is ours. And what she has is hers.
Well, then,
and you need she needs
no.
you to help. No, I'm just I'm. This is my experience. Okay, but you did say my, and
yeah,
you said
it is,
my.
Because
right.
that's why I'm thinking.
She think I like a man.
No. Exactly. No.
That's the point.
Men do that.
But my point is, it's
right
very
now, like,
difficult for a man no. to come into a Tori.
Go ahead, Darius.
What has been? Are you married?
No, I'm not. So I'm saying...
Is marriage a prospect in the near future for you?
Is there a prospect for marriage right now?
Yeah.
No.
And would you say that you being, quote unquote, so financially independent has been a challenge for the men that you've encountered?
No, because I don't like sharing my finances right off the jump.
Ah.
But
this, I'm not trying. I'm not trying to prove a point. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, you want a man to do what a man can do for you. But at what point do you let down your guard and say,
I will. But that's the thing. When I'm saying mine now,
once he proves himself worthy.
Well, whose home is it right now?
Yeah, but he might have his own home.
No, I'm saying right now where I live, whose home is that? Who should I?
It's your home, and he has his home.
What are you doing at his home?
What are you offering him?
No. I don't have a problem saying our home. I'm speaking in the moment right now. If I met someone and we're dating, mm-hmm. you know, and he's coming in closer, and now he's coming into my home and still my home, and he may see things like, oh, you know what? You said you can't do this financially, then this is what you should do. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's my home. You know you're sitting in my house. No. Right now, it's my home. And then when we become a couple and we decide to move in or buy together, then absolutely it's our home.
Okay.
But I'm saying in the beginning, we were talking about needs. A man can look into your home right now and say, you know what, I see why your son is acting that way. Or I see why your daughter is acting that way. That's where I might need you. I might not.
But are you willing to accept what he says as being true?
I am. Absolutely.
It depends if he's that kind of guy who's
yeah, if he's
you,
proven
like, the real truth and not just
yeah, absolutely. Bullshit. If he's proven to be that, absolutely.
Well, because I think part of the problem is I think when women turn this corner, and partly it's because they were forced to have to kind of fend for themselves more and, you know, like I said, push their glass ceiling up to now where they're earning power. I mean, it's still a difference, but they can earn more than any guy out there if they wanted to. Men have not, and I guess it's for black men specifically, have not adjusted or like, okay,
accepted
now
it. It's kind of nor will we ever. nor will we ever.
But what's that
because
about?
It's not in a man's nature.
No, I'm not.
Because God has prescribed roles for men and women.
Absolutely.
And the further we get away from what God has prescribed for us in his roles, the further in trouble we will be. You know, once a woman, the whole idea of woman rights was not meant for black women in America. And that, no, I'm talking about when it was initiated. I'm not saying that black women haven't benefited from it, nor am I saying that they don't have a right to. But what I'm saying is that women's rights in America was built on the initially white women who wanted to vote and wanted to have the same power as women. And then what happens is they've had privilege that black women in America do not have. And we as black men assume that we have the same privilege as white men in America. And we don't.
But I get your point, Darius, but you also have to consider the fact that just in life, time makes situations, people, experience evolve. So you have a whole generation of women now who find themselves in the position that they're in because they're dealing with men that did not take on the prescribed role that they were supposed to in regards to leading a family. So now you have a whole group of women who are raising women.
We're talking about the black experience now.
Right.
So
Let me finish. I have not landed. You have a whole generation of young women who are being raised with this mindset because they have grown up in fatherless homes. Whether we like it or not, whether it's right or not, everybody has to adapt because that's who we're dealing with. You can't explain to a child.
We have to adapt. Do you have to adapt to the absence of a man? No, you don't have to adapt, nor do you have to accept.
You know what?
But let's get back to the reason. Let's get back to the reason why black men in general or in the public's eye are so sorry. Why is that the case? Is that the black man's fault? I don't think it is.
No.
I don't think it is.
A lot of black men have lost patience with black women.
That's part of it, Tori.
But let's not ignore it. It's part of it, and I think that's a big deal. And I would say, and I could be wrong, we as black women give more chances for, and I don't, maybe this is lack of a better word, the shortcomings of a man.
I agree with that.
And men are, because just hearing you say it, you know, you're about to rip my head off about saying my home, right? But I know many
of
them.
It wasn't home, it was mine.
So if I say that out now in America around the black men, they probably all like, boom, shoot her off. That's why she's independent, right? But at the end of the day, I will deal with someone who's been incarcerated. I will deal with someone who's made less than me. I will accept someone who maybe have multiple children. Black women, we endure so much with our black men, and then when we, God forbid, now I feel bad using the word, independent, we're blown off. And I think black men have lost their patience with black women who were put into situations that they not necessarily are choosing. Yes, there are sisters out there waving the independent flag. I'm not talking about them. They don't deserve a man. I'm talking about the ones who are in situations that today, if you brought a good man into their life, they might not necessarily know right off from the back how to, you know,
go back and release.
Because at the end of the day, when I step into the role of a woman, that means I'm letting you lead. That's scary. You know what I mean? If I'm going to do it the right way, I'm putting my well-being, and if I have kids, I'm putting the well-being of my kids in your hands. And it's scary if I've been doing it for the last 18 years. Not only is it scary, it's new. I don't know anything else. It doesn't mean I don't need you. It means I don't know anything else. But if you don't have the patience and I'm automatically wiped off as, well, you're independent and then your kids and your house, I'm gone. Guess what? You just added another layer to me of why I am so tough.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I expected that from you. It's not like I was born in this world tough. It's not like women are waking up like, I want four kids and I don't want the man there. I want Lil John to be on drugs. I want Stacy over here screwing. And I want the other two, you know, one in special ed. I want my rent to be this. Nobody wakes up and wants that. At the end of the day, a lady wants to be a lady. Be sure to check us out on blackisonline.com.
People have to find themselves in various circumstances that will cause them, I'm sticking by that point, to adapt. I'm thinking about my mom and the way she had to raise me. When my father was incarcerated, that wasn't something that she chose, nor was it something that she had any choice to do but accept. She couldn't go break
them
out of jail.
Did she ever badmouth your dad?
Never. Not ever.
Do you think today she would badmouth a black man in jail?
Not ever.
No, she wouldn't.
Right? Not ever.
She wouldn't, right? That's more common in now. She's independent, right? She can meet another man, and she might be a little hesitant with him to come into Kim's life, and she might say the wrong thing one day. Boom, she bitter. She independent. She got the kids. She gonna be on her own.
No,
but she has her child to protect.
It's not the one comment. It's a consistent attitude, and you've left a whole lot out.
I want to say that, at least for black women, as far as back as I can go, I think black women, in terms of their role to black men, I think they've been more closer to equal than any other race there. I think every other race keeps their women further down. I think there's a larger gap. I think the smallest gap between men and women is in with black people.
And that's
coincidentally, the biggest relationship issues that exist are between black women and black men.
But
there is no equality. And that's what you have to understand.
And there's no patience and there's no understanding.
But
there's no equality?
Because there are things that you can do that I can do. There are things that I can do that you can do. And so the perception of equality, I think, is just false. I think it's false.
But I think just looking at black men and black women, we have to be willing and wanting to relate to each other. And I think that's
what's... We're too quick to give up.
Yeah, there's a very quickness, you know, on the women's end too, but I find that there are more men that are willing to, you know, turn
them
back.
Write them off.
And it's maybe not because they're doing it on purpose. A lot of them, they don't have to. You know, there are other options.
Yeah,
you know,
I think the
way more options. As a woman too, you think, especially if I'm a mother, and I'm a solid mother, I'm not trying to bring every Tom, Dick, and Harry up in here with these sons and these with my sons and my daughters, right? I'm not trying to do it without children. I'm not trying to open myself up to all these men. So for women, it's like we got to be a little, you know, it's tough. It's tough. And I believe in holding us accountable, but I think it's tough. And I'm not going to let you throw independent women under the bus, Mr. Darius.
Yeah, and my thing is, the point that you made, Darius, about the specific roles that we are supposed to play, I feel like everybody in this room will probably agree with you because of where we are generationally. We understand that the people who have raised us came up with that same ideal. Some of us actually saw the example of it, so we can understand that. For the kids that are coming up now that don't have that same structure in place, none of what you said would have any resonance with them at all whatsoever. It wouldn't even make sense to them. For the girl who grows up in the house where the father is absent by choice and mom is trying to make it, the exact scenario that Toria outlined, everything you said would make absolutely no sense to her. It would not resonate with her, nor could she apply it to her life and make any sense with it.
But
so that's what I'm saying.
That doesn't mean that it should be accepted.
But it is what it is.
No. It is not what it is. It is what you make it.
But
it is what you make it.
But what this definitely shows me is that we've become that generation, because every single generation has the new people, the young people that are coming up and doing things that they don't understand, that doesn't make sense to them, that they don't want to accept. But it happens with every single generation.
You know why it doesn't make sense? Because those are not the examples that they have seen. It happens with every single generation. But you know what? My grandparents were married for 65 years. My parents have been married for 40 years. And so what you're talking about is a different situation.
What I'm talking about is it makes sense to me
for you to marry somebody and stay married to them for a long period of time.
Right. But so, I don't expect when my son, like, I hope Eli gets into a loving relationship, but I don't expect the majority of the people in his generation to have 60-year marriages. Mainly, one, they're not even getting married as young as our grandparents and our parents were.
That's the whole point I'm making.
You got a lot of folks not getting married until their 40s
and 50s. And all these other things that are totally unacceptable in the eyes of God have just become the norm. That's the point that I'm making. When I'm talking about prescribed roles, I'm not just talking about what a woman should do and what a man should do. I'm talking about in life.
Right. But even if you make the choice to say, for me and my household, we don't accept it, It's not going to change anything.
No, it's not, because the majority of people and the people who my children come in contact with are going to be doing the exact opposite. And they're going to fall victim to either fall victim of peer pressure, or they're going to feel like that they're an aberration.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm sorry, baby. I don't mean to cut you off. I feel like as a parent, it will not work in my favor to then just come at my child and say, I don't accept that. I immediately will cut off a line of communication between me and my child. And whatever he's dealing with, I can't go to mama because she can't deal with it. She don't accept it. I already know what her mindset is going to be about it. So I'm going to go somewhere else and seek out somebody else's advice and mentorship. And I don't want my child putting their life in somebody else's hands. I'd rather open up that line of communication and say, you know what, son, this may not be how mommy would have done things, but I was living in a different time. Talk to me. I want to understand. I want to be there. I don't want to be cut off from you because you feel like I don't, A, understand you, or B, accept what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is different. I mean, we can bring him up, since sex keeps being brought up. I mean, there's the whole thing that in his book about the whole 90-day rule.
Right.
That I get it on the premise of not just sleeping with every person, you know, the first time. I mean, I guess because I'm raised old school, I don't expect it. Like, if it happens the first night, sweet. But I don't go. And, you know, I mean, and we can be honest. There are those specific women out there that men go for specifically to just have sex with. Not like, well, let me get to know her.
Hoes.
Right. that you are clearly like, this girl told me on, I want to try to do it now. And if it don't happen,
ladies got it hard.
But if a woman implements a 90-day rule, what man is going to really date just her and hold off on his sexual interests and desires for 90 days
you can't,
just to try to get
one 90 days.
Not a single one that I know.
Exactly.
And that's a problem, too.
He'll leave and go sleep with everybody.
Is he going to hold off for 90 days also?
Not at all.
So let me ask you all this. What do you think about arranged marriages?
Look, now that I have a child, I have absolutely no problem with it. Although I know he will have a problem with it if I am trying to secure his mate for him at this point.
I'm not talking about forcing someone.
Putting your kids around your people child. That would be
good
mates.
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Putting your kids in the midst of people who are truly prospective mates.
Absolutely.
Not forcing them into a situation where
I think
this is the woman I selected for you.
That's the only way that you model for them what they should
I think that's good parenting.
Right.
I think that's good parenting.
That if you put them around people who you think would be...
And you point it out to them, and you talk to them about it, and you have those discussions.
And you're...
Absolutely.
That's good parenting.
You're kind of pushing them in that direction. Like,
well, it's your responsibility to shape and mold their mind. So if you don't do it...
I'm not
going
to push...
That's going on?
I'm not going to push them into marriage, because anytime you're pushing someone into something, you're creating a vibe or a feeling in them that something is missing in their life or they're inadequate. And by no means...
I don't think so. I think that in American culture, that has become... the sense of what things are, but I don't think that's what it has to be.
Well, I don't want to keep having the conversation with my kid about, you know, getting married and all that. I don't.
No, that's not what I'm talking
right.
about.
Okay.
I'm talking about if we're ever going to get away from this whole idea of premarital sex and the 90-day rule. I mean, really, we shouldn't be talking about sex before marriage anyway.
We can go into that.
We can talk about a lot of
separate podcasts.
I'm saying it shouldn't be.
That's a whole separate podcast.
That's the thing. We should be talking about it because that gets it out there and that gets to a solution.
When
you don't talk about it, people are going to do it anyway.
Anything
you don't talk about with your kids, especially your kids, is going to happen. So you got to address the elephant in the room. It may make people uncomfortable. It may ruffle feathers. It might end some friendships. But at the end of the day, how is not talking about it going to resolve
it? I didn't say we should.
And the one thing
I'm not
that
we shouldn't talk about it, but I'm saying that
it shouldn't be an issue.
That shouldn't be an issue.
But these are things that are existing already.
Right.
Yeah. What we're talking about is a big issue. I mean, we're talking about male and relationships between males and females in the black community. And really what I'm sensing here is that we have identified that there's a problem here. And so if there's a problem, then what we need to work on is solutions to the problem.
Right.
Not accept everything as it is and say, well, that's the way it is, so deal with it.
But with those solutions, you also have to deal with the reality of the circumstances. I think your solution is saying, okay, so from this point on, everybody needs to be abstinent.
No. I'm saying let's rewind. Let's rewind.
That's
what I'm saying is let's rewind. That's all I'm saying.
But you can't go backwards.
Oh, yes, you can.
You
can say, you know what?
Why should give me my vajayjay back.
The first date. I'm saying the first date, we shouldn't be talking about. We shouldn't be talking about sex.
Oh, on the first date.
You know.
No, I mean, sex shouldn't have. You shouldn't come. If you're expecting an actual, like, long-term relationship, if that's what you want, it shouldn't be, like, the first thing on the. Because it's just going to go that way anyway, and then. You know, is the guy or is even the girl? Are they going to want to learn more about you?
Right.
Or are they going to be like?
Are we talking about relationship experience and how many notches we can get on our belts as men and women? How many dating experiences we should have? Are we talking about you finding that person who you plan to spend the rest of your life with and settle down with?
Yeah.
You know, it's two different conversations. Are
no,
we talking about?
I think if you are raising your child with those sort of ideals so that when they do go out into the world and start dating, the first instinct for them is not who am I trying to get into bed, but I'm actually trying to get to know somebody. That comes from home. You instill that into your child. But I think the challenge, and again, I feel like I'm repeating myself, every generation sees these changes happening and wants to take steps backwards to what is familiar to them because that is what makes sense to them. The problem is the future, the group who they are trying to talk to and change and teach and reach are not connected with that. They can't understand that. So you have to deal with their mentality and come up with plans and solutions that they can actually tap into. If you're talking to them about something that seems archaic, you're just talking and they're not listening. And they're still going to do what they've been doing.
I agree with you in part, and that is a phase for teenagers and young adults just to be rebellious. But I think by the time, aside from black people or black folks, when most people of culture come of age, they do revert to what is traditional.
I mean, that does happen.
And you see tradition in every culture except for ours, you know, where it's consistent. There's no transitioning into manhood. There's no transitioning into womanhood ceremony. There's no identifiable point where you could say, okay, you've reached the point where now you're deemed capable of becoming a male or a woman. And so, yes, I do agree. You're right. I mean, teenagers, no matter what culture, and young adults are going to be rebellious. That's just their nature. But once you get past the stage of rebellion, I do think that, I mean, I went through it, you know, mm-hmm. I can remember every time my father whooped my ass and when he stopped whooping my ass and told me, I'm gonna put these things on you, you know, but every time I remember I deserved it, and I was being rebellious, and I was trying to go against the grain, but now that I'm older, I can appreciate it.
Right.
And so it's easier for me to say, you know what, Daddy was right.
Right.
Right, and we don't get that enough. I mean, that is, and I hold both black men and women accountable for it, because it's kind of like, you can't really say, well, who did it first, because I don't know. You know, did the black woman piss the black man off so now he don't really care?
No, we know what happened.
Right.
We know what happened.
I mean, if we go back to slavery, then,
right,
then it's like, who did they attack first?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
But,
I'm not placing the blame on one party.
No,
or the
I think
other.
it goes equal blame. And I think I would break it into a third, that you'd have a third the woman, a third the man, and a third, quote unquote, the system. You know, that, you know, the views we get of each other, of how we, you know, of those images of how we are, not how we really are.
Well, you know what? I would back. I mean, part of me today is playing devil's advocate, regardless of how.
Because he see me giving him the dirt. Like, I used to like you. And, oh, I can't wait to leave my
God. Regardless of how intense of this conversation has been, I have been playing devil's advocate. And how about we stop placing blame?
You know? Exactly. Yeah,
because even what you mentioned about cultural traditions, that's part of the black challenge, the black experience anyway. were ripped from all of that tradition. And we've been trying to create these things for ourselves and our families all this time. There's absolutely no consistency across the board from family to family in regards to what we do. So everybody tries their best to raise their children with what they feel was instilled in them that was beneficial to them and has helped them survive.
What's going on, fam? This is Brother Malcolm, and you're listening to the Black Is Break. Check us out on blackisonline.com. Peace.